Welcome back to the Crypto Daily, where we delve into the latest tremors shaking the cryptosphere. Today, we're diving deep into the escalating debate surrounding Bitcoin's potential role as a reserve asset, particularly in light of recent calls for the U.S. government to establish a Bitcoin strategic reserve.
It's a fascinating proposition, isn't it? On one hand, you have proponents like the Bitcoin Policy Institute arguing that Bitcoin's decentralized nature, lack of counterparty risk, and hedging properties against inflation make it an ideal reserve asset, mirroring gold's historical role. The push by some U.S. politicians, including the proposed Bitcoin Strategic Reserve Bill, further fuels this narrative.
Right? And you can't ignore the symbolic weight of figures like Michael Saylor comparing this initiative to the Louisiana Purchase. But it's not all smooth sailing for Bitcoin on this front, is it?
Not at all. There are valid concerns, even within the crypto community. Charles Hoskinson, for instance, worries about the potential for state actors to exert undue influence on the Bitcoin network if it gains widespread adoption as a reserve asset. It raises critical questions about centralization and manipulation that the crypto world has been grappling with since its inception.
Indeed. And while the potential economic benefits of a Bitcoin reserve are alluring, the recent news of $20 million stolen from U.S. government crypto wallets serves as a stark reminder of the security vulnerabilities that still plague the space.
Absolutely. It underscores the need for robust security infrastructure and regulatory frameworks, especially if governments are going to hold significant crypto assets. The irony is palpable. The very decentralization that makes Bitcoin attractive as a reserve asset also makes it a target for hackers, and the lack of a central authority complicates recovery efforts. It's a tightrope walk, and the stakes are incredibly high.
So we've discussed Bitcoin's potential role as a reserve asset, but let's shift gears to another intriguing narrative in the crypto space: the rise of Solana. Some are even suggesting it could outpace Bitcoin's growth. What are your thoughts on this, David?
Well, it's crucial to understand that Bitcoin and Solana are playing different games entirely. Bitcoin, with its limited supply and decentralized nature, aims to be a store of value, a digital gold, if you will. Solana, on the other hand, is all about utility. It's a platform for building decentralized applications, boasting high transaction speeds and low fees. Think of it as the infrastructure upon which the future of Web3 might be built.
That's a helpful distinction. So while Bitcoin's value proposition lies in its scarcity and perceived stability, Solana's hinges on its ability to attract developers and foster a thriving ecosystem of applications. It's a classic case of comparing apples and oranges.
Precisely. And while Solana's recent price surge is indeed impressive, it's worth noting that it's coming off a low base following the FTX debacle. Bitcoin, with its longer history and broader adoption, has shown more resilience over time. Ultimately, both have the potential for growth, but the factors driving that growth are fundamentally different.
That's a key takeaway for investors. Don't just chase returns without understanding the underlying fundamentals and the long-term vision of each project. A diversified portfolio might even include both, acknowledging their distinct strengths. This transactional approach to politics seems deeply ingrained in Trump's modus operandi. It's fascinating and concerning to see how he leverages policy positions, even reversing them entirely, to court specific industries for campaign contributions.
Indeed. The article highlights a pattern of Trump making overt promises to industries like crypto, tobacco, and oil and gas in exchange for financial support. This raises serious questions about whose interests he would prioritize if elected, those of the American people or those of his donors.
It harks back to his 2016 campaign slogan, "Drain the Swamp." Yet his actions, both during his presidency and now, seem to contradict that message. He's essentially cultivating the swamp, fostering an environment where access and influence are for sale to the highest bidder.
And the implications are far-reaching. This transactional approach erodes public trust in government and raises concerns about conflicts of interest. It creates a system where policy decisions are potentially driven by personal gain rather than the public good. It's a dangerous precedent for American democracy.
So Peter Todd's in hiding. Apparently, claiming to be Satoshi, even jokingly, can have real-world consequences.
It's a bizarre situation, especially given Todd's history of denying any connection to Satoshi. It seems the documentary's claims, however dubious, have sparked enough concern for his safety that he felt compelled to go into hiding. It speaks to the intense curiosity and perhaps paranoia surrounding Satoshi's identity.
And then there's Microsoft, where shareholders are pushing for the company to explore adding Bitcoin to its balance sheet. It's interesting to see this kind of activism from within corporate structures, pushing for greater adoption of crypto.
It's a sign of the times, isn't it? Institutional interest in Bitcoin is clearly growing, even if Microsoft's board isn't entirely on board yet. The potential for Bitcoin as an inflation hedge is becoming increasingly attractive, especially in the current economic climate.
So Blockchain Reaction is aiming to bridge the gap between traditional finance and the crypto world with their new platform, Fiatgate. It's a non-custodial, white-label solution for wallets and exchanges.
Right, and it's interesting because they're leveraging the experience of their sister company, eBank, which has been in the online banking software space for over a decade. That brings a level of maturity and regulatory understanding to the table that's often missing in the crypto space.
Absolutely. And the fact that it's a white-label solution means it can be quickly deployed by various businesses wanting to integrate crypto without needing to build everything from scratch. It seems like they're targeting a very specific need in the market.
Exactly. They're essentially providing the rails for traditional financial institutions to enter the crypto space without having to navigate the complexities of obtaining a crypto license themselves. It could be a significant development in terms of driving mainstream adoption.
So Vitalik Buterin is at it again, this time with a plan to tackle Ethereum's growing pains. He calls it the purge.
Yeah, it's a pretty ambitious undertaking. Essentially, he's looking at ways to reduce the amount of data Ethereum nodes need to store, which has become a major barrier to entry for new participants.
Right, because right now, running a full node requires over a terabyte of storage. That's a huge ask for the average user.
Exactly. Buterin's idea is to implement something called partial state expiry, where older, less frequently used data is pruned from the main blockchain but can still be accessed later if needed through cryptographic proofs. It's a complex solution, but it could significantly reduce storage requirements.
It's interesting how this ties into his previous proposal, The Verge, which aims to enable stateless verification. If successful, these two upgrades could drastically change the landscape of Ethereum, making it much more accessible and scalable.
Absolutely. It's all about finding that balance between maintaining a secure and decentralized network while also making it practical for everyday use. The Purge and The Verge are big steps in that direction.
So this go-to NFT platform is taking an interesting approach to NFTs. Instead of focusing solely on digital art or collectibles, they're integrating them with physical music products, specifically vinyl records. What are your thoughts on this strategy?
I think it's a brilliant move. Vinyl has seen a huge resurgence in recent years, driven by both nostalgia and a desire for a more tangible music experience. GoToNFT is tapping into that trend and adding a whole new layer of engagement with NFTs. It's a way for fans to own a piece of their favorite artist's work that goes beyond just the music itself.
And they're not just slapping an NFT on a record sleeve. They're embedding NFC tags directly into the vinyl, which unlocks exclusive digital content when scanned. It's a clever way to bridge the gap between the physical and digital worlds.
Exactly. It's about creating a more immersive and interactive experience for fans. Imagine getting a limited edition vinyl that also gives you access to behind-the-scenes footage, unreleased tracks, or even a virtual meet-and-greet with the artist. That's a powerful proposition.
It'll be interesting to see how this plays out in the long run. Will this integration of NFTs with physical music products become the norm, or is it just a passing fad? Only time will tell, but it's certainly an innovative approach that could shake things up in the music industry. This WazirX situation is a mess, to put it mildly. A $233 million hack is one thing, but the way they've handled the aftermath has been nothing short of disastrous. Users are understandably outraged, and now they're taking legal action.
It's a classic case of a company failing to take responsibility and leaving its users out to dry. The lack of transparency is appalling. First, they try to shift blame to their wallet provider, then to Binance, claiming they took over their crypto holding entity. But Binance has categorically denied this. It's a game of hot potato, and the users are the ones getting burned.
And the fact that they're only allowing partial withdrawals is adding insult to injury. Many users are sitting on significant losses, and they can't even access their own funds. It just erodes trust, not just in WazirX, but in the entire crypto industry.
Absolutely. This highlights the need for robust regulations in the crypto space. Without clear guidelines and consumer protections, situations like this will continue to happen. It's time for regulators to step up and create a safer environment for investors.
So let's shift gears and talk about some market movements. Shiba Inu is hinting at a potential golden cross, while XRP is flashing warning signs of a death cross. It's fascinating how these technical patterns can paint such different pictures for different assets.
Right, and it underscores the importance of not relying solely on one indicator. The golden cross in Shiba Inu is definitely eye-catching, but we need to consider the broader context. Yes, it suggests potential bullish momentum, especially if trading volume increases, but remember, it's not a guaranteed buy signal. We've seen plenty of false breakouts before.
Exactly. And on the flip side, the death cross in XRP is a bearish signal, especially coupled with the break below the 50 cent support. It's not looking good for XRP holders, though. Of course, anything can happen in crypto.
Absolutely. Traders will be watching those next support levels closely. Meanwhile, Bitcoin seems to be holding its own, consolidating above that crucial $65,000 mark. If it can break through the $73,000 resistance, we might see some serious upward movement.
It's a critical juncture for Bitcoin. All eyes are on those key levels to see which way the market will swing. So Eden Yago, the founder of Sovereign, has had quite an interesting life, to say the least. Smuggling gold out of South Africa as a child, and now he's building bridges between Bitcoin and Cardano. It sounds like something out of a spy novel.
It really does, and it speaks to Bitcoin's appeal as a decentralized, censorship-resistant asset. For someone like Yago, who experienced the oppressive nature of government firsthand, Bitcoin must seem like a beacon of freedom.
Absolutely. And this Bitcoin OS project, with its zero-knowledge proofs and smart contract capabilities, sounds incredibly ambitious. It could potentially address some of Bitcoin's limitations, like scalability and privacy.
It's a huge undertaking, but if successful, it could be a game changer. And then there's this whole idea of reviving ICOs through DAOs. It's a controversial concept given the history of scams, but Yago makes an interesting point about decentralization as a shield against regulatory scrutiny.
It's a bold strategy, that's for sure. Only time will tell if it pays off. But one thing's clear, Eden Yago is a visionary, and he's not afraid to push the boundaries of what's possible in the crypto space. That's it for today's episode of Crypto Daily. Thanks for listening.